Thank you, Austin. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 4. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 5. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? James chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject taken from verse 6. He giveth more grace. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, this morning I sense a mighty move of the Holy Spirit has already begun. And Lord, I know through the direction this service has gone that the subject matter that you've assigned me to deal with today has come from you. And Lord, that message can only be transmitted under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't have the ability to do it as a human being. And I'm asking you for that divine anointing. I'm asking you for victory today, Lord, for your people. I'm asking you to open our eyes today, Lord Jesus, and to eradicate any pride that is blocking our victory from coming to fruition. And I'm asking that after we repent of that pride, that as your word declares, you'll give more grace. Hallelujah. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. It was about 2 years ago this month when the Christian evangelical world was once again traumatized by the news of a prominent fallen leader. That gentleman, of course, was Reverend Ted Haggard. It was discovered that he'd been involved in immorality. And the only reason I take the time this morning to call the gentleman's name is not to bring any dishonor to him, because my personal belief is he's a true brother in the Lord who fell into sin and, like so many in the church world today, had no idea of how to conquer that sin or to deal with it. And I believe the dear brother is trying yet today with everything in him to gain victory over the sin that's plaguing his soul. But when you consider his case and what was done in attempts to try to restore him, it shows you the rampant ignorance that individual Christians have concerning how sin is to be dealt with, and the ignorance that the church leadership has, how ignorant they are on how sin should be dealt with. I read the articles that came out just a few weeks ago about his current status. And within a few weeks of it first being made public knowledge, the leadership of the church he was in, their solution was he needs psychological counseling. That he had a sexual addiction that required psychological counseling to help him overcome it. And he went through some little 3-week program and came out of it and declared that he was now totally victorious over it. But the church would not believe that. And I don't believe he had victory either. They were correct in doing that. But what I want to submit to you in the beginning of this message today, I want you to see the ignorance of trying to deal with the sin issue through man-made efforts and man-made agendas. and how futile it is to attempt to do it in that manner. As time went on, he submitted further to the leadership that had been placed over him by I don't know who, really. But their solution was, after he came out of psychological counseling, now this is the church, this is not the world. This is some major church leaders, so-called. Their theory was that he needs to go into his 12-step program now for sexual addiction, and then that'll make him right. And he agreed, and he went through the 12-step program. And after he came out of that, they were still saying, it's not enough. It's not enough. He's still not restored to our satisfaction. There must be a time of separation of him in the pulpit, of him being out of ministry. Now, you say, okay, to human flesh, that all sounds good, Brother Browning. There's only one problem with it. What I've just described to you and the pattern I've just described to you from Mr. Haggard and from the church goes against every precept and tenet that's in the Word of God. That's the problem with it. Let me give you a biblical example. Peter, the great apostle Peter, who had openly repudiated the Lord Jesus Christ publicly, denying that he even knew him. And in effect, by denying he even knew him, was denying his very lordship and his very status as the Son of God. Was the first one to preach the message at Pentecost. And you don't find anywhere in the Word where after Peter had failed so miserably, where anybody tried to put him through psychological counseling or a 12-step program or take him out of the pulpit for 2 or 3 years. What's the point you're driving at this morning, Pastor? I'm driving at what the Bible says when somebody has fallen. It says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Ye who are spiritual. That means those of you who understand the cross. I'm telling you, my heart goes out to Brother Haggard this morning. He needs to get to the cross, is the point I'm trying to make. Because he needs a change in heart, and he needs a victory over his sin nature that only Jesus Christ can give him. 12-step programs will not defeat the sin nature. More education will not defeat the sin nature. All you're going to have is a smarter sinner. It takes the power of Jesus Christ to defeat the sin nature. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to root out of the heart and spirit of man that which is evil and that which is displeasing to God. And I pray this morning that somebody somewhere will get a hold of Brother Haggard and tell him, I believe he loves God, but somebody needs to tell him, you'll never overcome these evil desires through a 12-step program or through psychological counseling or through pills or any other method. The solution you seek, my dear brother, is in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And there is enough power there to change your heart and to get that sin out of your heart. And Jesus Christ is your answer. And somebody needs to tell the church that he was involved with. You're foolish for wanting to get him out of the pulpit and send him to such idiotic programs. What he needs is someone to take him to the cross, get him cleansed of that sin, let the Holy Spirit operate in his life, and let him do what God's called him to do, is to preach the gospel. That's God's system. That is God's system. And it shows you how far away from the Bible, the church, and most preachers have moved. So far away from it, they don't even know how to properly address the sin issue anymore. Most individual believers do not even realize how to gain victory over sins that plague them. I want to tell you this morning that we're going to have to fight. And that's a bad way to say it. I said that wrong. Sin is going to come against us and temptation is going to come against us until the day we're called home to glory. Let me give you a quick illustration here. Do you know as you sit here this morning, right now in your body, there is enough bacteria in it to kill you off within the next 3 hours? Within the next 3 hours, there's enough bacteria in your body right now to kill it off within the next 3 hours. But you know there's something going on. your body's natural defense systems, as you sit here, are fighting for you. And your body's natural defense systems, as long as you're healthy, fight off every bit of bacteria and foreign objects that are in your body and keep you alive. And you're not sitting there thinking about it, are you? Until I brought this up this morning, I doubt anybody was thinking, like, wow, there's enough in me to kill me the next 3 hours. Ed's grabbing his heart there. He's like, whoa. Now, I don't mean to get everybody worried and scared, okay? I'm using this as an illustration. So it is with the child of God. There is enough sin and sin nature in there to cause us to do the most despicable acts imaginable within the next few moments. But there's something in there that's greater than that sin if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He's the Holy Spirit. And he's fighting for, hallelujah, he's fighting for us right now when we don't even feel it, when we're not even aware of it. He is imparting to us because of our faith, exclusive faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. The Holy Spirit right now is at work in you and I, giving us the victory that Jesus won on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? Don't that make you want to shout? Glory to God. That our victory is continually flowing to us as long as our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it blesses me to know, hallelujah to the Lamb forever, that my victory is merely resting in Jesus Christ and what he's already done, because he fought the battle, he defeated the devil, and he's the only one that can do it. How many times in my ignorance in years past, with a desire to really want to eradicate sinful things from my life and wrong thoughts and wrong character traits, and they would be identified to me by the Holy Spirit. And before I knew and understood the message of the cross, and you'll probably get a chuckle out of this, because many of you were probably in the same situation before you understood the message of the cross. I just love to beat my chest and rebuke the enemy. Ooh, don't that make you feel good? Huh? Don't that make you feel good to stand there all proud and everything? Satan, I rebuke thee. And most of the times he didn't rebuke. You know why? Because I was coming against him in Greg Browning's strength. And you want to give the devil a good belly laugh? I mean, you just want to make him roll on the floor in gleeful hysteria? Come against him in your own strength and power. Be proud. Be proud. Be spiritually prideful. I am strong enough to overcome because I heard this preacher preaching the other day. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things. Now, those were the scriptures he quoted. But he quoted half of them. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The emphasis is not on what we can do. It's on what he's already done. Hallelujah. When the Bible is telling us here in the book of James, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Lusteth to envy. It's hard to say in King James, isn't it? Now, what's going on here? Is that saying the Holy Spirit makes us lust? No, it's not saying that at all. With the Holy Spirit operating in the life of the believer 24/7, he is continually fighting off. He lusts. And the word in Greek means he has an intense passion to fight off those things that cause us to be tempted and that cause us to lust after ungodly things. That's what the Holy Spirit is lusting. He has a passion to cleanse the child of God. He has a passion to work effectively in the heart of the child of God to overcome any wrongful thoughts, wrongful desires. And if we'll let him, if we'll rest in Christ, he'll do his mighty work. But the point I'm submitting to you today that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to clearly see, he has to be the one to do it. We can't beat our chest and scare the devil because he ain't scared of us. The great Martin Luther, reformer of the 16th century, who was instrumental in bringing the doctrine of justification by faith in the finished work of the cross back to the place of prominence it should have held, causing a great division in the Catholic Church. Years after the Reformation took place, Martin Luther said, I've learned that I cannot fight and overcome the enemy in my own strength. But he said, I've learned this. And he predicated this upon the scripture that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He said, quite often the devil will come knocking at the door of my heart. But he said, when he comes, he said, I rest in Christ. And I let the one who lives in me answer the door and say, Martin Luther no longer lives here. Woo! Glory to God. If we'll rest in Christ and place keep our faith exclusively in what he did at the cross, not getting prideful, thinking we can overcome sin in any capacity, when Satan comes knocking at our door, there is one who swings that door wide open that scares the enemy of your soul to death. And that is Jesus Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit who's dwelling inside of the believer. And when he opens the door, Satan's afraid. When we show up at the door and we start chanting and screaming and speaking in tongues and going through every kind of gyration that humans can think of to scare him off with, he has himself a good belly laugh and lets us go on. Satan loves ignorance. He loves the ignorance that most of the church is in. He little bothers most churches today because really they're on his side. This scripture that we read this morning says, resist the devil. Most churches in America today are assisting the devil. Why? How are they assisting him? They add sin to sin when they take a man or an individual who's fallen and tell him, go through a 12-step program. That'll guarantee your victory. They've just added sin to sin. They've come up with a program that is sinful in the sight of God to deliver a sinner. It is sheer insanity, my brothers and sisters. But when you get to the cross of Christ, you find the power of God. You find the victory of God. Only God can take an instrument of death and turn it into an instrument of life. Only God can take an instrument. Hallelujah! Give him a hand of praise. Only God can take an instrument that is shameful and turn it into something glorious. And God's able. But look at what the Word is telling us here in James, going on to verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now I tell you, I don't know about you, but in my personal fight against temptation, I don't want to have to fight against God too on top of that. Amen? And if we're not careful as believers, Satan deceives us into doing just that. How? Look at the situation with Brother Haggard. Here's a man who I know, there's no doubt in my mind he loves God. No doubt in my mind his soul is crying out for some help. And he's being dominated by his sin nature. And he can't extricate himself from this problem. And here along comes the church. Those who are supposed to know how to help him out. And what do they tell him? Go through a 12-step program. They've just added sin to sin there. Do you see that? That's a proud act. That's a proud act. Now you say, Pastor, I'm about to make a bold statement here, but I know it to be true. Most of the church is fighting against God today. That's why there's so little victory in the church. I want that to sink in. Most of the church is fighting against God today. That's why there's so little victory in the church. And the church is too proud to admit it can't simply be in the cross. There has to, how many people have I heard tell me that? There has to be something more. It can't be that easy. God didn't make it that easy. He had to. Because we're so hard-headed and foolish, we can't even get our minds around that simple truth of going to the cross for our victory, of trusting in God's power to get sinful things and wrong thoughts out of our lives that we can't get out. You can fast, you can pray, you can attend church, you can read your Bible. None of those things will defeat sin. Only the cross of Christ and His shed blood will release the power of the Holy Spirit into the heart of a person, and he will overcome the sin then. Any other method, hear me on this, any other method is fighting against Almighty God, and He will not help you. because you set yourself at odds against him. If you try to fight sin through any other method, do you know in effect what you're telling God? I can beat it on my own, God. I don't need your way. That's pride. That's pride. That's why the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty attitude comes before a fall. But to those who will humble themselves. You know, and what are we talking about when we say humble? It means throwing yourself at the foot of that cross and saying, God, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. I love this thing. It's got a grip on me. It's infected my soul. And unless you will help me and you'll come down by your power and defeat this thing for me, I don't have a chance of winning against it. That's humility. But what does the Bible say God does when we approach him in that manner? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He doesn't say, you've sinned too much. Oh, you've shocked me beyond belief with what you've done. No, what does the Bible say? It says he gives more grace. He gives more grace. He gives more grace. Somebody shout with me, hallelujah. He gives more grace. In other words, let me say it this way. God's awesome power as it relates to overcoming sin in our life has always, always preceded by a move of his grace. I want you to think on what I just said. It has to be that way. Grace meaning we can't earn it. You think, why would he do it for me? That's what makes it grace. Something we can't do for ourselves that he'll do for us, even though we don't deserve him to do it for us. My Lord, what a gospel we have. I can't understand why anybody would want to turn to anything else. But it's pride. It's pride. Because if man can in some way deceive himself, as he often does, into thinking, I beat this on my own, or I've got a plan that'll beat this thing. Who gets the glory for that? Man. And it so puffs up man in pride. That's why there's a plethora of programs and plans in the church today to overcome sin. 12-step programs, 10-step programs, 8 keys, 9 doors, 20 vehicles, whatever. It's endless. It's endless what people come up with. And it is laughable in a sad way when the answer is Christ and him crucified. That's humbling yourself before God. And it's the only way any human will ever gain victory over the sin nature. The gambler is doomed to gamble the rest of his life, wasting his life unless he gets to the cross. The sexual addict who's overcome by lust, and there is such a thing as sexual addiction. The answer to it is not Dr. Drew, okay? The answer to it is not going to Dr. Drew. How many of you know who I'm talking about there? A few of you. He's this guy on TV who supposedly runs a sexual addiction clinic when some Hollywood star or starlet falls into some kind of debaucherous situation. They go to him and for a few weeks and he pronounces them healed. No, Dr. Drew can't help because it's a sin problem. And to gain victory, humility. Humility of coming to God and admitting, I can't overcome this, Lord. It's got its teeth are too deep into me. And if we try to beat our chest and scream things at Satan, it ain't going to work. He's not afraid of us. He's only afraid of Jesus Christ. That's why the victory is in Christ. That's why this Bible says, submit yourselves. Look at it. Look at it. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Going on to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Any other? I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit to bear down on it this morning. Any attempt to overcome sin outside of the cross is fighting against God. That needs to sink in this morning. You say, Pastor, I know we've heard the message of the cross. I know, but we need this reminder. And perhaps some are involved this morning. Maybe the sin nature's got a grip on you in a certain area. Let me tell you, I'm not preaching to condemn you. My Lord, I'm preaching to get you to the place where you get more grace. Amen? If you're getting condemnation out of this, I'm preaching it poorly because I don't mean to be coming across that way. I'm trying to get you to the place where you can get more grace and get that thing beat. Hallelujah. And get it out of your life. Glory to God. But any other method that you're trying to extricate that evil from your life with outside of the cross of Christ, you've just put yourself in a fight against God. Now that's something to think about, isn't it? One of God's very own children fighting against Him. But it happens all the time. Because you're fighting against His way of victory. His only way of victory. That's why verse 7 says, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does that mean? What's the Holy Spirit telling us there? Simply in humility, coming to Him and admitting, I got no plan, God, but yours. And if you don't do it for me, it ain't going to get done. But Lord, your plan was sending your Son who defeated sin for me. On the cross, He defeated sin for me. He shed His blood to cleanse me from sin. And my Lord, when we submit to God's plan, victory not only comes, victory is guaranteed. But you know the problem in the church world today? In many churches, they're made to feel so comfortable with their sin and to make, or they're being taught effectively to make peace with that sin and admit, well, it's just human frailty. You'll just have to deal with it. Of what I call Oak Ridge Boys theology. Because years ago, the Oak Ridge Boys had a song out about going to heaven. It was called, Come On In, You Did the Best You Could Do. No, you ain't going to get to heaven like that, just doing the best you can do. Because the best we can do ain't good enough. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The best you and I can do ain't good enough. It's what He did and what He's done and what He's doing, and that is good enough to God. Amen? Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. So the Word tells us, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, do it God's way. Do it God's way. Then the Scripture goes on and says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now here's where most of the church, or anybody really, without a proper understanding of the cross of Christ, will mess up and allow sin to dominate their life. I laugh about it every time I think of it. Speaking of resisting the devil. Years ago, you had these jokers out of Oklahoma. Hey, you know what their idea of resisting the devil was? They issued army fatigues to their church. Old issue army fatigues, army uniform, and had them turn to the north, west, south, and east, rebuking the devil. That was resisting him. Whew, boy. Man, don't that... Now, can you get this sight? That's what I said. If I was the devil, that'd make me laugh. Now, look, some of you are laughing at it right now. Think of that. A bunch of Christians. This was their idea of having church now. Wearing a bunch of old surplus army uniforms. Turning to, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you. Whoo, glory to God, we got victory now. I can just see him doing a belly flop. And saying, yeah, you all go on and keep doing that. Because not only... are you not scaring me any? You know what he's laughing about? You're fighting against the very God you're trying to get victory from. You're fighting against the very God you're trying to get victory from. Because he's not going to, Satan knows this Bible better than any of us. Missed a good chance to say amen there, but he does. He knows it better than any minister on the face of the earth today. He knows it. And he knows that if an individual follows God's prescribed order of victory, that individual will get that victory and it can't be stopped. But he knows if he can somehow corrupt that individual's thinking to get them to somehow function outside of God's prescribed order of victory, not only is Satan's job done, But he's effectively got you fighting against Almighty God. Now, that's not Greg Browning. You just read that from the Scripture. God resisteth the proud, because any attempt for victory outside of the cross of Christ is a flagrant, flagrant demonstration of human pride. I want to say that again. Any attempt to gain victory outside of the cross is a flagrant demonstration of human pride. So God resists the prideful. But if we'll submit to his way and we'll resist the devil, how do you resist then, Pastor Greg? Remember the illustration I gave you at the start of the message when I said, merely rest in Christ. He'll fight for you. He's already fought for you. The Holy Spirit is in the believer right now fighting for you, as you said here in this sanctuary this morning. He's lusting, the Bible says. He has a determination to want to eradicate every wrong thought, every sinful desire out of our heart. And if we'll submit to God and resist the devil, going back to that illustration, how do you resist? It's not by your works. You don't resist the devil by your works. You resist the devil the same way you were brought into the kingdom of God. You place your faith and trust in Christ, who has already defeated him, who has already won the victory. And at that moment in time, the Holy Spirit, because we're not fighting against God, the Holy Spirit is now free to function in that area of our lives as we open it up unashamedly and unabashedly to him, calling it what it is. Lord, it's sin, it's darkness, and it's got a hold of me, and I don't like it. Of course you don't like it. You're a child of God. You're saved. You can't be comfortable with something like that. God's not going to let you be comfortable. The Holy Ghost isn't. He's not brought it to the forefront to condemn you. He's brought it to the forefront to give you victory. He's wanting to give you more grace. Hallelujah. But he can only give that grace on certain conditions. And the grace comes first, and the power of God comes. You resist him by resting in Christ and humbly admitting, Lord, I can't change a thing about myself. I can't make myself any better. I can't go to a psychologist. I can't read his self-help books. I can't buy Brother Big Bucks from the Congolian Cathedral's novel on how to overcome addiction. There's no help in any of those things. It burns me and aches my soul as I see the Christian media today and all the books it comes out with declaring that this book will change your life. I tune anybody out right then when they say that, especially if they add my new book as if they've got some kind of secret that nobody else knows about. It's just a big money maker for them. The Bible, the Word of God, is where our victory lies. And maybe their book might lead you to Scripture. If it does, then okay, if it leads you to the cross. But so many of them don't, because they're interested in holding themselves up as some spiritual religious guru who has the answer. Only Christ has the answer. And if we'll submit and resist the devil by merely resting in Christ and humbly telling God, I can't get victory over this, Lord, unless you do it for me, then he'll give us more grace. And that grace is followed always by his power. And he'll do in us what we could never do on our own. He'll defeat that thing. He'll take it out of us. He will pull the plug, so to speak, on the power of that unholy passion, that unholy lust. He's strong enough to do it. You know why so many children of God get afraid when they're being tempted voraciously by the enemy, and maybe they've given in and allowed something to get a grip on them? They're ashamed. They're ashamed and they're afraid. If I go to him and I tell him this, he's going to cast me aside. That's how the enemy tries to warp our thinking. He won't cast you aside. Hallelujah. He won't cast you aside. He'll give you more grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord, my soul's doing flip-flops right now. And I know I've had to do it many times in my own life, and He has never, not one time, condemned me. He's given me more grace. And He said, get up. Go on. I haven't left you. I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Get up. Go on. And if you'll rest in Christ doing those things, He'll fight for you. You know, right now, in any of us, there is enough that if it were not for the Holy Spirit being there to restrain us, and I know this is tough this morning, this is reality preaching today, and it's never real popular, don't make a lot of people shout, but it'll get us a lot of victory. There's enough on the inside of us right now, if the Holy Spirit didn't restrain us, we'd all be facing life sentences by 6 o'clock this evening, if not before. Oh, you missed another good chance to say amen there. It's true, ain't it? I'll go back to one of my famous illustrations. If you're thinking, well, Pastor, I ain't really that bad. Okay, how would you like everything you thought this last week to be flashed on a screen so we could all read it? Would you like that? Huh? You need more grace. You need more grace. And I'm trying my best to show us all He's got it, and He'll give it if we'll approach Him in His way. Hallelujah. His way. His way. That's why so few get it. Really. And the Holy Spirit is fighting in you right now, restraining you from doing things that would make us all blush probably. And He's doing it automatically because your faith is in Christ and Him crucified. Just as your body's fighting off all kind of disease and bacteria right now as you're sitting there and you're not consciously aware of it. It's going on though, because if it weren't going on, you'd be dead. Consequently, if the Holy Spirit is not operative in the life of a believer, spiritual death is soon to be the result. If the Holy Spirit is not effectively operating in the life of any believer, spiritual death is going to occur very quickly. And what allows the Holy Spirit to flow? Submitting to God. That doesn't mean going out and doing a bunch of stuff so you can feel good about yourself. The Holy Spirit will produce good works, but submitting to God. God, I submit to Your way and Your will, which is what Your Son did for me on the cross. I trust exclusively in that for my victory. I can't change this thing. I can't get it out of my life, God. I want it out. I hate it. I'm Your child. You've renewed me in my mind and in my spirit now. And this thing, I find it detestable. I find it disgusting. But it's got a grip on me. And I can't change it, but I'm looking to You. Will You help me? He gives more grace at that point in time. And that grace will always be followed by His awesome Holy Ghost power in the heart of an individual. And then victory comes. Then victory will be guaranteed. I'm not saying you'll never be tempted again, because that would be a lie to say such. But I, as I begin to close now, some are needing a victory today. And there's not nobody else around you who would know it by the way you conduct your life. But you're needing a victory. And God, the Holy Ghost, wants you to know this morning, you've not shocked Him. And He doesn't stand to condemn you. He wants to give you grace. And more power. Oh, I sense Him moving mightily right now. He loves you and me. He's not against us. He's for us. But what sometimes the enemy trips us into believing, if we don't use God's prescribed method to gain victory, to obtain victory, and to maintain that victory. Oh, I feel to press down on that before we go to the altar call. After victory is obtained, that victory must be maintained. And it's maintained the same way it was obtained. That's Holy Ghost preaching, ain't it, Bill? This is the Holy Ghost speaking to us this morning. That victory must be maintained after it's obtained, and both are achieved in the same way, through humble faith in the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. Because if that victory, after it has been obtained, temptation is going to come again. There's where the maintenance of that victory comes into play. You must then go back to God and admit, Lord, this thing's coming upon me again, and I don't have the power to resist it. He'll give you more grace, followed by more of His power, and He'll give you the strength to resist it. That's how you resist the devil. And then he'll flee from you. You've got the Word of God saying that resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But that resistance is predicated upon submission first. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Did you get that first? Him fleeing is predicated upon our submission to God's will and God's way. And once that is done, you've resisted the devil right then. And then he'll flee because you're in Christ. I love this. I've used it often, but it's so true and glorious. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I want to close on this thought and take it one step deeper, maybe, than the great Martin Luther did. With our faith predicated and anchored in Christ and Him crucified, when Satan looks at you and I, he doesn't see us anymore. We're in Christ. Do you get that? We're in Christ. He sees Christ then. That's why he flees. That's why he flees. Not because of us. We got nothing to scare him with. We got nothing to defeat him with. It's like coming against Satan in human strength or coming against sin through human effort. It's like trying to take a squirt gun to put out a major oil fire with. It just ain't going to get the job done. But there's victory and there's more grace for all who'll come God's way. I can't let it go just yet. The Holy Spirit's telling me, bear down on it now. As I look back over my life, there have been many times I've been guilty of fighting against God. There have been so many times as I reflect back on former ways that I used to try to obtain victory, I was fighting against God. And I would use what would some would say were good weapons. I would try to fast it out. I would try to pray it out. I would try to read my Bible more. I'd try to do more work in the church. None of those things will gain us victory over sin. They're all good things, but they will not defeat the sin nature. Christ alone can do that. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And God, as you approach him in that humility, will give you more grace, followed by an outpouring of his power. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we're so weak and pitiful as human beings. Lord, it's so difficult for us to try to eradicate. It's impossible, Lord, for us to try to eradicate sinful thoughts, sinful actions from our lives and our own efforts. And Lord, so many times we allow the enemy to confuse us into thinking that we can obtain that victory through our own effort. Lord, he often tricks us into thinking after that victory has been obtained that we can maintain that victory through human effort. It can't be done. Lord, I'm asking you to take these few pitiful words I've tried to preach today and make them come alive in the hearts of your people. Because, Lord, we're all in need of more grace from you today. We're all in need of more grace from you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask, are you right with God? Are you right with God this morning? And as always, when I give an altar call like this, you know, many of you know where I'm going with it. Why do you think you're right with God? Is your life changed by His power? Let me tell you, if you're claiming that you're right with God and you're still the same person that you've been the last 3 years, you're still living the same sinful life, you're not right with God. I take no pride or pleasure in telling you that. But some need to know that. Because I know you're deceived. You're deceived right now into thinking that because you've made some profession of faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, you can go right on living your sinful life and God will overlook it. No, if you've truly been born again by the power of God, you hate sin. You want no part of doing evil. And when you do evil, you feel terrible about it. You can't go on living a lifestyle of sin. You're not right with God if you are. I don't care how much you've prayed and claim you've been to the cross. If there's been no true change in your life, you've not been born again. And that's what needs to occur. Are there any here today who would say by uplifted hand, Pastor, I know I'm not right with God. And I want this born again experience where God will come in and change me and He'll do it. If it can happen, Pastor, I want it. Would you slip up a hand right now? Would you slip up a hand right now? I promise you, I won't embarrass you in any way. Are there any at all? I'm going to ask everyone who would you please stand then? I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to keep this very, very private this morning, because the intent is not to embarrass anyone or to elicit some type of confession to us. I want you to go to Him this morning right where you are. He's the one who'll deliver. He's the one who has the power to give you more grace that you need. And whatever sin problem or sin issue you're facing, your answer is you need more of His grace to defeat that thing. And He stands ready to give it. I hope you've listened this morning. And you, if you have, you already know what to do. Maybe you've already done it. But at this altar call today, the Holy Spirit wants you to follow God's prescribed order for victory over sin. And I'm not saying you're not saved. You love God. If there's a besetting sin in your life, you hate it. That's how you know you're born again. You despise that thing. You're ashamed of it. You want rid of it. You worry, oh God, what if somebody knew? God knows. God knows. Don't matter, none of the rest of us know. God knows. But He loves you. You're His child. And He wants to take this thing out of you. And if you'll come His way, if you'll do it His way, He'll do His work. He'll do His work. Don't be afraid now. Go to Him. I'm going to ask everybody who will, whether you need to pray this prayer I'm about to pray or not, just to lend strength to those who do need to pray it. And I'm talking to believers now. I'm not talking to lost people. You're saved, washed in the blood, probably baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, used in gifts of the Spirit. None of those things defeat sin. Don't put your faith in things like that for your victory over sin. They won't bring it. They're gifts of the Spirit. They're wonderful, but they won't bring victory over sin. I'm going to ask everyone who will pray with me now out loud to lend strength to those. Maybe this message wasn't for you and it's just been a good reminder. Praise God for that. But God the Holy Ghost, I know, is wanting to do some great things in some hearts and lives today. So pray with me, everyone, if you will. Let's go to the Lord now. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today as your child. I'm sorry. I have allowed sin to dominate me. I'm ashamed because I hate sin. And I know you hate sin. But I know that you died and shed your blood and rose from the grave victorious. And I need more of your grace today. I submit to you, humbly admitting I can't remove this sin from my life. I'm asking you to give me more grace and for your Holy Spirit to remove that which is ugly, which you detest and I detest. And Lord, based on your word, which cannot lie, at this moment, I may not feel it, but you've given me more grace. I receive by faith your victory for my life. Thank you, Lord. You haven't condemned me. You've given me more grace. And I will maintain this victory like I just obtained it. I'll keep my faith and trust in you when temptation comes, as it will. Based upon the Word of God, which cannot lie, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am victorious over sin and the sin nature through Christ and him crucified. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Use this methodology I gave you this morning, because it's not my methodology. This is God's prescribed way of victory for your life. It's the way to obtain that victory, and it's the way to maintain that victory. Praise God. Praise God. I just know the Holy Spirit has done some mighty things in hearts and lives today. And you've just been given more grace. More grace. Hallelujah. Just like a spiritual injection, like a needle injecting you with more power. Sometimes when these bodies get sick, we need that little extra shot of penicillin or what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, a shot. Inoculation. Thank you, Paul. We need to be inoculated with something that's a little bit stronger than what we've contracted. Even though our body can fight it off to a degree, we need a little bit more. The grace you've had, something's come against it. That's you just needed a little bit more. You needed a fresh inoculation of it. He gave it this morning. Amen. He gave it this morning. His word cannot lie. Amen? You've just been given more grace. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead. Give him a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, sometimes we need services like this. We really do. It's not a lot of fun to preach. But again, it's not been condemnatory. It's been leading us to a place of victory. Well, this week, I pray you have a great week. Be with us on Wednesday night in service if you can. I believe you'll be blessed. And you just have a blessed week. Walk in the victory that God has given you. Receive more grace every day. Ravonna, do you have an announcement? I'm finished. That is right. I am sorry. Bring him up here. This is Jarrett, everybody. And oh, look at him, will you? This is the first time I've seen him. Oh, Cora, he's beautiful. What do you think of him, Emma? He's pretty good. Is he pretty cool? Come on up here, Cora, and hold him up. Hi, Jared. Let everybody see him. Praise God. Praise God. Look at him.